This is Janine Clark, the managing director of Book It Repertory Theater, and I am here with David Morris, who is the artistic director of Paper Street Theater and the director for our holiday production of Austin Unbound.
That's right. That's me. And I like that you call it a holiday production, even though there's not much holiday to it. It's not a Christmas carol or anything.
It's a holiday time sort of.
Yeah, it has that holiday spirit of like, you know, it's fun and sort of like uplifting, but it's not Christmas. Yeah.
No. You know, you and I have known each other for a while through improv connections. And so, you know, when Gus and I were talking about doing Austin and maybe doing improvised Austin, you know, you were the first name that popped into my head just because of your work at Paper Street Theater doing improvised Austin. You have a long, long history of that.
Yeah.
So, how did you start out coming to work with putting together an improvised Austin show up in Victoria?
Yeah. So, I mean, it starts with Paper Street Theater, my improv company, which I founded in 2011. And our goal was straight out the gate to create improvisation that feels like theater. So the idea being you would come to the improv show, but it would be no different than going to see any other theatrical production. People might dress up a little nicer and come and have some cocktails in the lobby and then sit down and watch a play that has a set and has costumes and has actors acting and stories that where we watch characters grow and change, all of that. But it's improvised and we're making it up as we go. And that was always sort of the goal with Paper Street. And so, as we started building the company, our second season, I focused on literature. And so we did three authors, specifically. And it's kind of like, one of the things I always say about improv is like it's on the spectrum of like book to like movie, like that plays like book, theater, movie. Improv isn't necessarily right in line with theater. It's actually a little closer to literature because of the fact that we are asking the audience to imagine a lot more than they would in a normal play because we don't have sets. We don't have like the exact set we're going to use because we're improvising. We don't have all the props that we need because we're improvising. We don't know what props we're going to need. And so we do ask the audience to kind of imagine with us and play along with us a little more, which kind of pushes it more towards literature where we're asking them to imagine more. So that was part of why I wanted to make our second season all literary focused. So we did the three shows we did that year, if you're curious, we did H.P. Lovecraft. We did like a horror show type of thing, driving themselves to madness, as our Halloween show. And then we did Charles Dickens as a Christmassy show. So we did, cause Dickens wrote a new Christmas show every year. Most people don't know that, or he wrote a Christmas book every year. And then our final show in the spring, because again, spring is like a happy time. We wanted to do Jane Austen. And we had a very strong female cast. So we had a lot of great, very strong female improvisers. And so it was kind of like a nice show to just showcase, look at these amazing women we have in our company. So that's sort of what first got me to do Jane Austen. And up until that point, I wasn't really an Austen fan. I didn't like read it in high school or anything. I wasn't an Austen fan, but I wanted to do it as a show. And then I read Austen and fell in love with Jane Austen reading it. Cause it's one of those things where, everybody knows Jane Austen they think they understand Jane Austen, whether they've read it or not. But then when you read it and you realize how like her personality comes through and how like she's actually a very funny and clever person, Jane Austen. And like you think of them of Jane Austen as being like, I guess for those of you who haven't read it, you think of it as being like these romance novels and almost like that's the whole focus, but they're actually really funny and really clever. And that was sort of my in to Jane Austen was doing this show. And then since then we've done it every year because we love it so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And you all, I know you work with other, groups in the community, such as the Jane Austen Society, doing those performances, right?
Yeah. We just did, the Jane Austen Society just had their, AGM in Victoria this last year. So we performed there as for Jane Austen aficionados. And the other thing I love about the show is that people who come see the show love Jane Austen too. And so it's like a big celebration of Austen. And when we get things right in the show and we like really hit Jane Austen and it feels like, oh, that's just like Jane Austen, everybody laughs and claps. And then if we get things wrong a little bit and just kind of miss or make a mistake here and there, which happens at improv, everybody laughs because they know that we made a mistake because they know Jane Austen. And so the Jane Austen Society was like the perfect audience for the show because they knew exactly what we were trying to do.
That's a really knowledgeable audience to perform for too. I mean, what a gift. And also, you know, the pressure is on.
Yeah, for sure. But the pressure's on in like a joyful way, because the thing about improv, is that, we're all in on it. Like we all know this show's being made up. And so when the improvisers are stuck in this moment where they've made a mistake and they're trying to find their way out of it, the audience all know they made the mistake. They watched it happen and we're all there together, sort of watching it come together. So it is like a beautiful art form when done, especially in the way I always try to do it, where we're telling stories together, not just trying to make jokes, but and not just trying to do comedy, but we're trying to like build a play. The audience gets to build it with us. And so we find this like beautiful place together. It's really nice.
I think that's something I really has, you know, kept me drawn to improv is just the immediacy of it and that connection with the community and getting to do something that is present, you know, in that way, and is of today. And so I love the, you know, audiences coming in and, you know, they're carrying their experiences of the week with them and in a way that's influencing what they're going to, you know, share with us. So, you know, how this show came about was, you know, Gus and I were talking about, you know, we had mentioned, that, you know, long-term we would love to have, Jane Austen, you know, in a holiday slot. And I think we were both had that, you know, we would mention that casually, you know, without sort of any agenda, periodically. And when we were looking at this season, we had a very limited, you know, very, you know, tight slot. And, Gus happened to, be doing some research and, found that back in 2013, Bookit actually did a co-production with Jet City Improv, for an improvised, Jane Austen show called Austen Translation. And, and so Gus had reached out to me and said, hey, I just found this thing that Bookit did like 10 years ago that wasn't on the Bookit stage, but they served as consultants for the style. Do you know anything about this? And I said, yeah, I was in the show. you know, was, you know, performing, at Jet City at that time. And so, you know, it kind of picked up steam and spiraled, out of there, just saying like, what a great way to, it's, you know, it's really, you know, not with any sort of intention of parody. It's really a love letter to Jane Austen and her works. I think when you're talking about improv being closer to literature, you know, that's so, I think in Bookit's wheelhouse for, you know, we want our productions to kind of spark that, like a little bit of that theater of the mind and having to provide, like, use your imagination to provide the details. And I think that's something that's been pretty, you know, consistent with Bookit's productions over the last, you know, 33 years. It seemed like, you know, knowing your aesthetic that, you know, which is similar to my aesthetic, is we like to do, you know, sincere, you know, unscripted plays, essentially. It seemed, you know, and Seattle definitely has the talent base for it, as, you know, you've come down and worked with our performers down here, we've had performers go up to Victoria and work with you. So, you're certainly aware of, you know, the community of people here, that have done work like this or have done other literature based, improv shows.
Yeah. Yeah, I do want to jump on a couple of things you said there, because I think there are things I just want to draw some light to. The love letter idea, I think, is great to keep in mind that, and I do this with every show I do, is I try to fall in love as much as I can with the author that we're emulating or the style that we're emulating. Like right now we're doing the Brothers Grimm. So I've been really enthralled in fairy tales and those old fashioned fairy tales, yeah, especially. And so we're trying our best to like get to know who they as people were, as well as the work that they did. Cause that helps inform our work. And it is a lot about, like, I find with when I direct people with shows, it's like the cast right now who's doing this show down in for Austin Unbound are currently reading Jane Austen. And not only that, but also looking into, yeah, like her biography and her life. Cause when you're on stage improvising an author's work, especially, you want to be able to ask yourself, like, what would Jane Austen do? Like, what would Jane Austen do in this moment? How would she write this moment? Yeah. So the cast right now is currently reading Jane Austen, and learning, looking into her biography and all of that. Because you really want to get to that place where when you're on stage, you're saying to yourself, like, what would Jane Austen do in this moment? And that you actually have an idea of what she would do in this moment. Like, oh, she would make fun of this moment a little bit, in like a tongue in cheek, kind of clever way, because she finds the rules of this society a little silly. And so she'd make a joke here. And the other character wouldn't even notice the joke. And that would be the fun of Jane Austen, right? So really getting to know who they are. And it is a love letter to them. It's like, you kind of fall in love with the author. But the other thing I wanted to jump on that you said, which was great, was the, that idea of like improv trying to create unscripted plays. Cause I find a lot of people when they improvise and when they think about improv, the first thing they think of is comedy and jokes and silliness and, like, you know, inappropriate comedies usually too, but like, that's what they often think about. And that's definitely not the way I approach improvisation. And for me, it is about trying our best to recreate or replicate theater. And then when we don't, that's a joyful failure moment, right? Like that idea of failing joyfully. And we all watch it happen. And so, like, there's a saying we've had up here in Vancouver. I'm sure everyone has said it at some point around the world nowadays. But when I was first starting out with Instant Theater in Vancouver, we had this saying that was aim for art, settle for comedy. Yes. And I've really taken that to heart. Like, that's a very way I approach improvising. It's like, I'm going to aim for the best Jane Austen moment I can.
Yeah.
And if we miss, if it doesn't quite work, then it was it's a comedy, but we're really trying so hard to actually hit that Jane Austen style and feel. So if you love Jane Austen, it's a great show. You're going to love it.
Yeah. And I think, it is really interesting to me that, you know, you're in another city, you're in another country, but I think, you know, Paper Street's aesthetic, you know, and being like story-based improv, like your primary objective is to tell a good story. I think that's very similar to, you know, the company that I spend most of my time at as a performer is, you know, story comes first. And so, you know, I think improv is much more broad than a lot of people realize. And there's quite a bit that is encompassed, under the umbrella. Right. And so, you know, it looks and feels, I think closer to theater. But yeah, it's, you know, so for this production, you know, we have a lovely cast,
it's incredible.
Pretty great.
It's going to be amazing.
Pretty great.
It's going to be an amazing show. I'm so excited. Yeah.
What I love about the improv community in Seattle is we have very low key, like, world famous people, is what I would describe. And I think you have a little bit of that going on in Victoria as well, is, you know, we have a couple people, in Seattle who are in the show who are really, considered you know,
internationally recognized improvisers and like,
yes, like
leaders,
yes. And,
leaders in the field. Yeah.
Yeah. And the majority of Seattle probably doesn't realize what, you know, that those people are here and that we have, you know, there's just the history, I think, of improv in Seattle and how old the community is. It is 40 years old. And there's a lot of firsts that Seattle had in the 80s for, you know, being the first of, you know, certain kinds of improv in the nation. Mm-hmm. And so it is, you know, I feel like the cast definitely kind of represents all of the eras of improv that Seattle has had. But Yeah,
and that is something else too that I try to do here with my company as well, which is to have a wide range of experience levels and age levels, if possible. So, like getting people from different generations,
yeah,
because we all have different perspectives on the world and different perspectives on the art and the work, and so having, you know, like people that have been improvising for like 40 years. Improvising alongside people that have been improvising for like 5 or 10 years, and like the difference in the experience and the difference in world experience and life experience, like trying to make sure you have some people who have had kids and some people who aren't having kids and some people that are like in their 20s and just starting university, so that you have like all these different experiences that come together, really enriches the storytelling. Cause this is the thing with improvising that's a little different than traditional theater, is that the improvisers on stage, once the show starts, they are all the writers.
Yeah.
They are all the directors. They are all the actors. They are all the choreographers. And so they have to be, they have to draw on their own experience to help propel the story forward. And the more perspectives you have, the more possibilities come through in the story, instead of us all telling our classic, you know, middle-aged guy stories. We can tell stories that actually touch everybody in every way.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I think that's, it's a wonderful way to approach it, is from that sort of like, diversity makes for a richer tapestry in the story that you're telling.
Always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, you know, getting back to, you know, low key international, internationally known, you know, so, you know, you and I have known each other probably, I don't know, 10 years or
10 years. Yeah. Let's call it 10, somewhere around there.
Yeah. And I feel like every day I find out some other thing, amazing thing that you've done. You know, so you're very low key, but, you know, as much as I can, you know, brag about you, I like to. So, you know, you've run Paper Street Theater for over 10 years now.
Yeah.
And so you're also a corporate trainer for, improv in, for businesses and other community groups. You teach for MIT.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have one of the most earliest and most viewed TEDx talks on improv.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You helped to establish and run the Canadian Games, improv games. Is that right? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, I didn't establish the Canadian improv games. It's been around for a lot longer than me.
Yeah,
but yes, I worked for them for a very long time and helped run their national festival for a few years there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was interesting as we were working on some of the visa stuff to get you over here. It was like, oh, you know, I knew maybe about half of your resume, I think, before that process.
Yeah, so. It's an interesting thing being an improviser. So improvisation as an art form isn't very well known or renowned. No. So like normal everyday people don't know who the best improvisers in the world are. When they think of the best improvisers in the world, they think of Whose Line Is It Anyways? And like Wayne Brady, because they're the most famous improvisers in the world. But when you go to the actual international improv community and start meeting people that are involved, they're all very low key.
Oh, yeah.
Because none of us. Yeah. It's an interesting thing to be like, well-known and influential in a very specific field, because no fame or like riches come with that. Like, you don't become like a multimillionaire, internationally famous, artistic improviser creating long form plays in the style of H.P. Lovecraft. In the improv community, I'm trying to do this without feeling like embarrassed that I'm talking about myself
so much.
Sorry,
I've embarrassed you.
No, it's okay. I'm going to try not to. I'm going to try to act like, yeah, I'm totally great. But in the improv community, I've been involved in a lot of different aspects of it. And my TEDx talk was like 10 years ago now, I think, when I did that talk. And it still gets like thousands of views all the time. Like, it's just going up and up. And I just booked, I'm going to be going back to MIT in January to do another session with them there. Great. So I've done that. And then I've also there's a part of being a member of a community that I think, an important aspect of it is to try to give to the community.
Yeah.
And so I've done a lot of little things that help propel improv in general for around the world, so that improvisers everywhere can use my TED talk to introduce their students to improvisation. Or I made a periodic table of improv website that you can go and it has all these funny little improv words on it and stuff like that, that people use or print up and put in their classrooms in schools around the world and stuff like that. And then of course, one of the big things about improv is international festivals is a big part of the art form. Cause unlike other art forms, this is another thing about improv, is that when improvisers get together, we aren't getting together to show off or perform necessarily for audiences. We're getting together to play together. We jam together. If the only other similar thing I can think of that is with improv is jazz musicians.
Yes.
When jazz musicians get together, they can all be like, yeah, let's play Autumn Leaves, go. And then they play jazz standards together and improvise. So we get together and play. So going to international festivals is a big part of what we do. And so that's another thing where it's like, internationally, I've taught in, I've been to Romania, been to Amsterdam, been to Belgium, been to all these international places teaching improvisation, and really trying to inspire a community somewhere else. But of course, if you're not an improviser, you'd have no idea that these festivals are even really happening, because they're not big festivals outside of the improv world. So I do a lot in the improv world, and have been. I mean, I think it's part of what happens when you love something and don't stop doing it. I think I've been professionally improvising for about 20 years now.
Yeah.
This is what I do. I teach improv. I talk about improv. I make improv. I do improv. I produce improv. So it's something. If you do it for long enough, you just kind of
there is something about momentum. I think there's something really wonderful about just consistency over the years, and I really think there's no substitute for that. And improv is no exception. I think if you've been doing it for, I think magic starts happening when you've been doing it over 10 years.
My aunt is an agent for voice actors in Toronto. And she always used to say, people that spend 10 years in the industry will be in the industry forever at that point.
Yeah.
If you can make it those 10 years and not give up or get burnt out or just get your heart broken or fail so many times that you give up, at that point, you're just in it. You're just going to do this for the rest of your life. I couldn't imagine doing that with voice acting. Actually, I couldn't even imagine doing that with regular acting.
Because
the last time I did a play, we did Dracula at Craig Derrick Castle here in Victoria, and I got to play Van Helsing. I got to play Van Helsing, which should be the best role ever. And yet after four nights of doing it, I was like, I am so bored of, I just can't, this is just such a boring show now.
I've had very similar, I don't do scripted acting much anymore. For one thing, it's a schedule thing, but, I've had that same experience of a 4-week run and you're doing the same show every night.
And you try to find, and you find new things and you do to make new discoveries, right? Like the part of acting is about discovering the line every night, you know? But compared to what I get to do when I improvise and that I'm discovering every line I'm discovering, but every like emotion, every moment, every, the whole story, the character I'm discovering, like the environment I'm just like, everything is about discovering when you're improvising. And so comparing that to like regular theater, it's just like the, what I get from it isn't the same. So I couldn't imagine being a voice actor for 10 years, but improv, because improv is always different and always changing and never the same. And then I grow and change as I get older and I gain new experiences and I go through, you know, I experience like, you know, loss and mourning. I get to, I have a child and I get to experience fatherhood, and all of that comes into the work that I do. So every time I step on stage, I'm a different person and I bring that person with me and we make a new show, that night. So it's, it's an art form that keeps up with the artist in a way.
Yeah.
And like, and the artist keeps up with the art form, and it kind of, we push each other forward. It's really lovely. It's very unique in that regard.
And I feel like there is that component of being in the writer's seat, being in the director's seat when you're doing, long, like unscripted plays, like we do. I feel like I use all the parts of my brain, you know, because I have to listen, I have to pay attention, I have to, you know, like there's some like back part of my brain that's also doing like the narrative calculation of like, okay, the cousin's coming from London and keeping track of everything.
You get to bring and use your whole self when you improvise. Everything you know or have ever known in your life, you get to bring on stage. So it's just incredible in that regard.
The thing I love about improvising a author is that, you know, if we're doing an adaptation of something, you know, the adapter has decided, we're always having to pare things down, right? Because most books are not going to, you're not going to be able to take exactly what was in the book. Yep. And so the adapter and the director are in the driver's seat of deciding what from the book to include and what's pertinent. And the thing I love about improvising is we are all as individuals making the choices of what we think needs to go in that story, you know? And so, you know, somebody may be like, you know, I know we had somebody in auditions, you and I had commented, and she's cast, that was understood the like discerning sister role, and you know, she walked in being like, I know this is, you know, how Jane Austen writes these characters, and that like, you're not good enough for my brother to marry my brother sort of thing. And that's what she decided, you know, was important for her to present. And I love that. I love, you know, watching people choose all the spectrum of Jane Austen and pick out these like very sometimes nuanced things that they bring to that scene in that moment.
Yeah. It's actually another place where literature and improv meet really nicely is in that, in a book, when the author says something or describes something, they're just giving you the words of the description of the thing. And then they're asking you, the audience, to imagine it. And so it happens between the two places. It doesn't just happen in your head. It doesn't just happen on the page. It happens between the two, somewhere between. And that's what improvising is. It always is happening between two people, where I'm saying something, you're saying, and how you interpret what I say and what you bring and what I bring in between there is where we find the story. And then what the improvisers are doing and the audience is imagining between the two of us is where the story is found. Unlike a movie where here's the boat and this is what the boat looks like. This is all you get to see. Like there's not as much of us finding it in between the two places. It's kind of given to you. So it's, lovely. And actually it's funny. We do a show here, called Adaptation, which we do once a month, where we have a local bookstore bring a book and they tell us about it, and it's a book we've never read, and they just give us a quick sort of synopsis, and then we do a live adaptation of the book. So it's kind of we've never read. It's,
okay, I didn't know you were doing that. See, this is one of those, like, I didn't know you
were
doing
this. It's
that sounds amazing.
It's a lovely show, and it is, like, again, because I love books, and I think the place between literature and improv is so beautiful, so that at this whole show we do, we've been doing it for like over a year now. And it's so fun to hear about new works of literature that are coming out and bring those to people. Right. It's a fun show. We should maybe we'll do one when I'm in town. We'll do like a little one off sometime.
Yeah. I know my gears are turning already. Well, you know, for Austin Unbound, you know, we have this amazing cast of eight, and that'll be rotating, right? So we've got six or seven people of that cast playing every night. And we've got a design team. We've got a pretty kick-in set design and costume and that sort of thing. What are your, you know, what's exciting to you about this particular production?
So many things. I get to come down to Seattle. That's exciting to work with my favorite Seattle improvisers, for sure. But, it is really fun to be in to have the resources that Bookit has behind an improv show. That feels really, really like, it just feels really nice and beautiful. Cause like a lot of improv is often treated as second class theater. It's like, it's treated as not worth the same amount of money. It's not worth the same amount of production quality. And I have spent my whole career trying as hard as possible to push against that and make our production quality as top notch as it can be and give it some real polish so that when people do come, they go, oh, this feels like theater, right? Like that's what I've been trying to do. And so to have Bookit's full, like, what would you say? Resources, full energy behind it.
You have the structure and the engine of the company behind you.
Yeah. And like the history of the company and all this, like this, like really like, you know, foundational theater of Seattle, kind of like pushing improv to the forefront as like, hey, look, this is theater too. And working with the, set designer, Andrea, working to put together a set and working with her in this, like, she's amazing at what she does, but she's never really worked with improv before. So having to kind of like expose her to what we need and how our needs are a little different because we don't know what's going to happen. No. So it has to be a little more flexible and stuff. And seeing her still work, like dedicate herself to that and come up with this really beautiful set design that's going to be like, it's going to be perfect. It's so great. And working with the lighting designer, having him smile so happily about, when I say the word, you know, I like gobos and he's like, oh, I got gobos and bringing out a whole stack of gobos.
So for those of you who don't know what a gobo is, it is a, now I'm like, how do I describe a gobo? It's a steel piece. Yeah. That's put into a lighting instrument to throw a shape.
Yeah. It creates texture on the stage. So like you might have like a leaf gobo. So it looks like leaves are all over the ground or a window gobo. So you see like light shining through a window. And in improv, they're so valuable because again, we don't know where we're going to be. So being able to change the location through lighting, is really important to what we do. And seeing the lighting designer's eyes light up with this, like, oh, this is going to be really fun. You know, like this is going to be fun for me. And like, I'm excited to, So to have all these people, bringing their creativity to this and treating it in that way where it's like, yeah, we're going to make this the best improv show that we could ever produce, feels really, really lovely. So that's the thing I'm most excited about. And of course to have an incredible cast, the cast is amazing. So to have like all these real professional actors and improvisers come and like, are going to rock the show. I'm so excited. Yeah.
Funny. Yeah. I don't know if I've shared this with you, but I've actually had people in the improv community approach me and comment on how amazing the cast is. So I think we got it right. I mean, I've had like a dozen people say like, oh, I heard about the cast for Austin Unbound. This is legit.
And
so
I know. And it's bittersweet because it's such a great cast, but there were like three or four other people that were so great in the auditions that we could have used if we had room for all these people. So it's incredible to be in a place where it's like, yeah, we have so many great things that we actually have to not include great because there's too much other great. So it's just all great.
Yeah.
I'm excited about all that aspect of the show, especially, and bringing it to your audience at Book It. Cause I think it is Jane Austen is such a beloved author to people, and you really want to make sure you do it right. And I find a lot of Jane Austen improv that I have seen in other places kind of, I don't want to say they make fun of Jane Austen, but they're almost using Jane Austen as like a launching off point for jokes and trying to be funny, with it. Like some groups do, like Tyrannosaurus Rex Jane Austen, where everyone has Tyrannosaurus Rex arms, you know, like they do these silly little things that sound funny, but aren't really treating Jane Austen with, I think, the respect she deserves as being such an important literary figure. So, to me, it's like, I'm excited to bring that to your audience and show them like, we love Jane Austen here. She's special to us, and we're going to treat her right. If we do make mistakes, we know we're making them as we're making them, and we're going to try and fix them as fast as we can.
I think, I know I'm a Jane Austen fan, and, when I came to join the team at Book It, staff and our audiences, they're just very like well-read. They love books. They love, everybody is very, very, knowledgeable and we definitely have that Jane Austen, contingent of people who know this, our fans. For those that don't know, my dog is a Boston Terrier and her name is Jane Boston. And so, when I joined the staff at Book It and that little detail got shared, they're like, oh, okay, we know who you are now.
Yeah. Jane Boston.
Yeah.
Cute little puppy.
She's official consultant for the show, but mostly does work behind the scenes. So.
I think we're kind of getting close to time here. Hey,
I think
did
we
you
are.
Have any last things you wanted to ask me here before we get working on the show? Gotta get working.
I don't think so. Thanks for taking the time to chat today. And I always feel like this could have gone several more hours longer, but,
I love talking about improv. I love talking about improv. So I have to like stop myself from just going on about some of the nitty gritty bits of what we do as improvisers and how incredible and beautiful and powerful the art form is. So I hope your audience got a little bit of that and not too much of it, but if they want more, you can watch my TED talk. They gave me a time limit on that. And now when I do that talk, I spend like at least an hour doing it, instead of like the 10 minutes they squished me into. So I could talk about improv forever. So anytime you want, let's do it.
Excellent.
Maybe we should do every week. We'll do this every week. We'll just talk about improv.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether we record it or not, we'll just do it for us. But.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Janine, for taking the time to talk about this stuff. And I'm so looking forward to the show. Everyone, please come out and check it out. It's going to be such a lovely show. I have people in Victoria that are going to come down to it because they want to see.
Is it your team that does Austen up there, or
some of our Austen team is going to come for sure, and then I have some improvisers in Vancouver that are going to come down to watch it too, because I did a lot of work in Vancouver in my early years. So.
Yes,
yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Excellent,
can't wait.
Yeah, very exciting. All right, well, thanks, and I guess everyone else listening, we'll see you at Austen Unbound, opening December 3rd.